We're going. We're going.
Okay, David, want me to start and stop over? Start over again?
Well, I just wanted to say that, like, there is something we have to get to. You watched a game on YouTube today. You have to tell this story.
Okay, we'll get there.
This was phenomenal.
Welcome, everybody, back to Hoops HD. This is our Under the Radar podcast here. We are recording December 30th, a little after 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. This is our last Hoops HD show of 2020. So we are going to say a final good riddance to 2020 tonight.
Yes.
But I am your host, Chad Sherwood, joined down there by David Griggs, who's already jumping 20 conferences ahead of us.
Yes, and 20 conferences ahead. In 27 hours, it will not be 2020 anymore.
We got Rocco Miller back from Bracketeer.org. And we have – this is our Under the Radar show. Under the Radar – by Under the Radar, what we mean is the – what is traditionally 22 this year with the Ivy League not playing, 21 conferences that are not traditionally multi-bid conferences. That means not the Power Five conferences, not the Big East, not the Atlantic 10, not the American, not the Mountain West, not the West Coast Conference. We cover those 10 leagues all during our Monday night Hoops HD reports. The rest of the conferences, the rest of the teams in the entire country, we cover on this show.
Yes.
In-depth detail in-depth about all 300-plus of them.
Yes. We're going to spend 5-10 minutes on each one, and when we're finished, it will not be 2020.
It would not be if that's what we did. No, what we'll do is we go through each of these conferences, talk about what's going on in them, talk about some news and notes, some upcoming games, if they do, in fact, happen, as we know, this year. And we do a top 10 list at the end of the show. I don't know what else we do, but that's kind of what we try to do here. So I guess on that note, we're going to go ahead, as we always try to do and sometimes do successfully, sometimes not successfully, pull up these standings here. And we like to start with a feature conference every week. And this week, if it worked, we should have the Missouri Valley on the screen, do we?
Yes, we do.
Wow, it worked. All right. Rocco, let me start. This is going to be our feature conference for the night. And I want to talk about this because it's actually a conference that a lot of exciting stuff has been going on. We've got the standings up there. Just a quick note for anybody that missed our show Monday night. We have a new rating here also in this column right here that I'm highlighting, the OAR rating that we're showing. What OAR is, you can see it down at the bottom here. We've averaged the 7 other metrics here, net, KPI, SOR, et cetera, and then ranked those averages 1 through 357. So it does factor in for now. A couple of ones are being factored in there, but once the net and KPI numbers are out, it's not exactly an average. It's how your average ranks against the other 357 Division I teams. But Rocco, the Missouri Valley Conference, and Drake is the story there, obviously.
Drake's the story. 11-0, tremendous start. They went on the road to Indiana State and got the sweep. The second game was actually the first time they played a game in single digits, because their first 10 were all double digit wins. So this team has not just been winning games; they've been doing it with authority. They have an experienced team. Darian DeVries is in that kind of magical third year where it's kind of, you know, the program takes off or stays stagnant, and he's showing that really good signs here that they're taking off. Very impressed. Looking forward to some showdowns. I think Drake's got Southern Illinois on the road this upcoming week. It was really fun overall in the Valley to see this back-to-back format. Sunday and Monday, they kind of had their own day Sunday as kind of like the premier games with going up against pro football. I like that. Monday also pretty good day to play and get attention. So good format overall. And the race is just going to be outstanding. I think either Drake or Loyola Chicago, probably the two favorites at this point. They're going to have their hands full each week. You know, there's no gimmies in this league, as Southern Illinois found out on Monday.
David, I think you and I mentioned this last week also, but I think one of the keys we're going to be looking for in a lot of these leagues this season with these back-to-back games is who could pull off these sweeps. As Rocco said, Drake got the sweep. Also, Loyola got the sweep, albeit at home against Illinois State this week.
Right, and it's just such a different atmosphere. I did see that there's actually been more sweeps, at least on a small sample size so far, than there normally are. About 2/3 of them have been for those that are doing this format, but it's so different. Like, it's hard to beat a team twice in a row. When you beat them the first time and they get a do-over less than 24 hours later, it's certainly hard to go on the road and win on back-to-back nights. It's just a very different feel to the season this year. And you know, Southern Illinois comes to mind, how they won the first night against Evansville, lost the second game. A fun note about Evansville, I think we may have mentioned this the other night, but if in case we didn't, Evansville had more recently won on the road against a number one team than they had won a conference game prior to beating Southern Illinois earlier this week.
Got Evansville at 1-1 there. Rocco, Southern Illinois 7-1 overall. Now Missouri State picked up a win. It got the split against Northern Iowa on the road. Right. Northern Iowa team that is still, I think, a little shorthanded, shorthanded maybe. But we thought it was going to be a really good team this year. And now Missouri State's kind of looking good as they're finally getting some action in.
They are, yeah. They only had three games before Valley play started, but it was a good sign that they were able to take out Little Rock at the beginning of last week and then lead into their trip to Cedar Falls. And then they took it to Northern Iowa in the first game, 20-point win. Of course, Northern Iowa without A.J. Green, the player of the year in the league. But Northern Iowa is well-coached. They have other good role players, great shooters. So I don't think they're going to be an easy out for anybody in this league. But Missouri State, a little bit better than I thought from what we've seen so far. Isaiah Mosley, just a sophomore, has really shown a lot of progress in these first handful of games. And, we're going to continue to watch the Bears closely. And they get to host the Sycamores twice this weekend. So maybe they can get a sweep, perhaps.
Yeah, with those upcoming games, you could actually cross off those two Loyola Chicago Bradley games already. Bradley on a shutdown announced today. Sullivan's played a Valley game, and it's another thing we're going to be tracking here, who can get games in. Bradley was the team I was going to be watching this year, but maybe a few more weeks until we really start knowing how well they do in this conference even.
Right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Valpo is still on pause, so the Illinois State series is canceled. It's a little surprising that they didn't pair up Illinois State with the other healthy team,
Loyola.
But they decided today not to, so they're going to have to find some makeup dates.
Well, the games obviously circle then are going to be the Southern Illinois Drake games. I think those could be real interesting if Southern Illinois,
if they have
a bloated record.
And those two games both got picked up for national TV, so exciting for the league.
Oh, I did not know that.
ESPNU will have, I think, the first one, and CBS Sports on the second one.
Okay.
Everyone will be able to watch those games if you don't have the ESPN Plus. Let's move through the rest of these conferences, though. We like to do it in alphabetical order. I'm going to start off over in the America East, which saw David NJIT got there. It was their second game as a member of the America East after they got blown out at home by Vermont on Sunday. Monday was a little bit of a different story. I would say this was at Vermont, not at home, but at Vermont.
Yeah, in a really crazy finish to, you know, hand a real damaging loss to a Vermont team that I think we all thought, or I did anyway, that was going to run away with the league. The margin for error, I suppose it could still happen, but when you're looking at games that you are assuming wins in, home games at NJIT probably fall into that category, and then not get one, the hill that you have to run up to run away from the league just got a lot steeper. What a finish to that game. I think it's still on ESPN Plus in the archives. If you haven't seen it, I'm not even going to try and describe it. It was a scramble for the ball that turned into a wild random shot at the buzzer that went in.
it was a wild shot. I mean, No reason going through the net other than it did. NJIT got the win, and Rocco, that puts Stony Brook at 4-0 at the top of the conference right now.
It sure does. Seawolves are going to benefit from this, and a big reason why is the team that was in control of the league for a minute was UMBC, but a stunning loss to Binghamton. Albeit it is, as we said, hard to sweep teams. Usually, that big of a gap in talent can yield a sweep from what we've seen. But Binghamton brought it that game to get their first win of the year. Yeah, and so the Seawolves are sitting here at 4-0, and then unfortunately today they got shut down. So they'll be on a break now for I think 10 days or so.
So cross off those UMBC games. That would have been a good one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, those were going to be good ones. So hopefully those get made up later in the year.
So I've been kind of unimpressed with the overall play of this league. I mean, and by let me say that in relative to what I mean. The America East, it's always a fun league. There's always one or two teams that I think if they get on that 12 or 13 line, which they normally do, they could really give somebody fits or even win a game. They're destined for the 15 and 16 line. And as we know out of this league, when a team gets a 16, they just don't have any chance at all.
Right. Yeah. UMBC really proved that a couple years ago.
Funny story, 10 seconds real quick. When they beat Vermont, I was like, oh, what a good win for a program that's on the rise. But what really sucks is Vermont could have won a game in the round of 64. UMBC has no chance. That was the last thing I said.
Well, NJIT now with off the win, they go to Lowell this two games. UMBC is shut down. Well, they're not shut down. Stony Brook shut down, so they're not playing. Yeah. Right. But upcoming games, I think with New Hampshire at 2-0, we got to circle New Hampshire at Maine. Back-to-back games for the first time ever is the games of the week in the conference.
It is. We are dispatching Lee Del Vecchio.
That's right. Heated rivalry in Maine with the big announcement this morning that the rest of their games will all be played in their tiny gym on campus.
Yes! Yes!
So you can look forward to two of those this weekend.
Oh, turn on your TV. Oh, this is
to turn on your ESPN Plus stream.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I don't think CBS picked those two games up for national TV, David.
Big mistake.
Oh, it is one of the great venues. It's right up there with the Junkanoo Jam where you had an industrial fan.
The Atlantic Sun has not changed since last week, other than Lipscomb picking up a non-D1 win last night over Freed Hardman. But Liberty is still the story here. Rocco, you were with us last week, so your thoughts on where Liberty stands right now, I guess.
Liberty stands in firm control of the driver's seat, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, this weekend – they're going to go to Lipscomb twice, Friday and Saturday, and that is probably the premier game. I think Lipscomb's still sitting at second. Your Stetson team has made some progress. I think they've looked pretty good over the last couple of weeks, and so maybe they've got a shot to get up to second. But Liberty-Lipscomb is the focus this week. I do think, my real dark horse is Kennesaw State. They're starting to get closer to winning. But haven't quite got over the hump. We'll see how they do in league play.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Transylvania getting yet another D1 game coming up on Friday, I think against Bellarmine, if that game is on. They've been playing with everybody this year.
Bellarmine, a pair of D3 opponents this week in Mount St. Joe's and Transylvania.
So kind of like last year for them.
Yeah. Right. Last year they were playing D2 teams. They move up to D1 and start scheduling D3 teams. What a journey it's been for the Knights. I think they're the Knights.
Yes,
yeah. Also, just some unfortunate news yesterday that Liberty's coach, Richie McKay, was tested positive for COVID. So he will not be available for the Lipscomb series this weekend.
As of now, those games are still on, though.
Yeah.
They are still on as of now, yeah.
I was unaware of that. Thanks for sharing.
All right. Let's jump over to the Big Sky Conference. In which also did not see much in terms of action other than Northern Arizona getting blasted by Gonzaga last night. Right now, in first place, we have three teams that are undefeated in conference, and an Eastern Washington team that I know we like, a Southern Utah team that's up and coming, and a Sacramento State team that I don't – even though undefeated overall, I don't know that we're that high on them, Rocco.
David, go ahead. Sorry. Well, by the time you watch this, they won't be undefeated. I think they're at St. Mary's here in about an hour.
Yes. So,
they
are. You're right. Thank you.
Sac State, long layoff. Their two league wins were against Idaho, so hard to know a lot yet, but a good start for the Hornets at least. I think in the league, we didn't get a lot of activity in the last week. However, things are going to crank up a little this week. I like this Northern Colorado-Montana series coming on Saturday and Monday with the day off in between. I think the Bears are capable, but they were knocked off in their most recent series in the second game against Idaho State pretty badly. So I also think Idaho State and Weber State's pretty interesting. I know Ryan Looney's a second-year head coach now for the Bengals up there in Pocatello, and he was a D2 Coach of the year before he came on to Idaho State. So I just think it's a matter of time before Idaho State makes some noise, and maybe this is the year. So we'll see how they do against Weber.
Yeah, we'll see. Montana State hasn't played any conference games, still hasn't done, have any more coming up here. But they're doing this the back to the two-game series with a day off in between, which I kind of like that if you can – but it means more travel involved and more, you know, having to stay overnight somewhere and all, I understand.
Yeah, that's one downside, but I kind of like it as well. And you typically plan on staying that – I mean, normally on a typical road trip, you're staying multiple nights in multiple cities, so it's not so bad.
Over in the Big South Conference, David, let me start with you here. Winthrop just tonight got a tough game at it from Campbell, but did sneak away with a 1-point win to remain undefeated. But I'm not going to take too much away from that. They got the win. They did what they had to do.
Yeah, I was going to make those 2 points. One is I really like this Winthrop team. Two, it was an incredible effort from Campbell, a much bitter fight than what I was expecting. And they made Winthrop sweat. Like, to Winthrop's credit, they got the win. If anybody, and I mean, this is sort of like saying water is wet. If anyone's going from this league is going to land inside the bubble, it's going to be Winthrop, and they'll pretty much need to run the table or come close to it in order to do it. I certainly think they're good enough to do it. I was impressed with Campbell. I really was. I wasn't expecting much out of them this year. And they put up a fight, and you kind of got to wonder – how are they going to do, like, against the rest of the league? Are they going to finish second or third? And I believe, I'm not up on this, but the normal conference tournament format is that it's at the first place team.
Yes.
That's
still true.
Okay, it's still true. But anyway, impressive for Campbell going forward. But you have Winthrop pulled up here on the screen. Rocco is a selection committee guessing expert. You and I are not so much. Is there enough there, Rocco, to get them inside the bubble?
Well, you know, it reminds me a little bit of the Stephen F. Austin conversation last year, without the Duke win, because Winthrop doesn't have the Duke win.
Yeah.
But at one point, Stephen F. Austin did take a really ugly loss last year. I can't remember who it was against. Two, but,
yeah.
So Winthrop, a little bit different situation. They're going to have to play flawlessly with this back-to-back format. It's really hard to envision a running of the table. You have to figure in a back-to-back, you're going to lose maybe twice, if not more, along the way. But for the time being, I think it could be interesting if Furman and Greensboro end up having good years, or if just one of them wins the SoCon, and then you have Little Rock who could win the Sun Belt. That could also add a little juice to their at-large case. But yeah, I mean, it would have to be a pretty impeccable record. And I think, you know, it's, if they want to try to squeeze two games in, if they can find a decent program or two to play them, they've got the room for two more with their appearance in the Louisville MTE. So, we'll see. There is a tiny bit of a path. It just doesn't seem extremely realistic. However, right now I think they'd be a pretty safe, 12 seed.
Yeah, and well, I just want to throw a few things out there. Number one, you notice they got to play Campbell again tomorrow after that game today.
Right.
Number two, their biggest rival in this conference in recent years has been Radford, and the two games against Radford are road, both on the road at the end of the season there. And then as far as squeezing games in, if they don't get shut down, if they're able to play through this season, the Big South set it up to end their season by February 19th there, so they built in a week for makeup games pretty much. So there might be room to squeeze games in there, you know, late February, early March even.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be something? if the conference gets everything in and then they're able to get, I don't know, who's had games canceled? Gonzaga.
They're in a part of the country where there's a lot of leagues around them. They could get a Conference USA team. They could get a Sun Belt team. They could get a ACC or SEC if there's a bubble team interested. You know, there's a lot of places they could call and make it doable on a bus.
Right.
And don't forget, I mean, they could even in theory, after the conference tournament, if their conference tournament happens on time, there will be a week off between their conference tournament and the selection show. You can even squeeze a game in that week. I don't see why not try to do that.
You absolutely can. It's rarely done, especially in men's basketball, but it does occur. They could absolutely do that.
You see the upcoming schedule for this conference on the screen there, but let's just jump right on over to the Big West. And David, let me stick with you here as we jump over to the Big West, where we did not see much in terms of action except for the Irvine-Santa Barbara games, which we circled as being pretty big games. And how about Irvine picking up the sweep?
Yeah, I had really liked UC Santa Barbara. I thought that they were one of the better teams in the league. Coming into the year, I had them in my under-the-radar top 10. I figured if anyone was going to make a run for the bubble or was good enough to do it, it would have been them. I liked Irvine, but not as much. But how are you not impressed by that? I was actually kind of surprised. Having seen Irvine prior to those two games, I hadn't been all that impressed, but I was last week. It was
And that was maybe I've been the most impressive thing out of this conference, though, Rocco, because Cal State Northridge out of nowhere beats what we thought was a pretty darn good New Mexico State team.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a stunner. I mean, they caught New Mexico State on their, you know, their first game, and I think against another D1 school. New Mexico State had a really long break, 25 days or so. And even before that, they played two non-D1s down there in Arizona. So good win for Northridge, another one. They had one at Pepperdine earlier this year. They're kind of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of team, but yeah, dangerous. Because now if New Mexico State wins the WAC, we'll talk about that later, but that's going to hurt their seeding. But yeah. for the Irvine series, I was just really impressed with, you know, we talk about Russell Turner a lot over the years. The defensive game plan to shut down UCSB, they were completely thrown off. They shot 12% from three in the first game. In both games, Irvine out-rebounded them by 10. And so they're just a force to be reckoned with. You know, rebounding and defense, that's a formula that can get you through a lot of bad shooting nights, and it works well for the Eaters.
Yeah.
And what a huge series now. We suddenly have Irvine at Northridge coming up two games this week, the two teams we just talked about. So assuming those games are a go, circle those. Also, UC San Diego, assuming the games are a go, finally getting their first D1 games. They've played a couple non-D1 games. Hawaii can't get any games in so far, and who knows what they will.
It's getting to the point, is Hawaii going to have any sort of season at all?
Well, Hawaii and Riverside, I think, should be on the – I guess that's still another week away. But that's going to happen, I think. And there's a couple updates on this league. Long Beach State came back to practice today. Cal Poly comes back to practice on Sunday. Or I guess they're going to – is the game Sunday?
The game is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, so those games might be off then.
I think they're off because they're coming back Sunday. And then Fullerton comes back tomorrow. There's a lot of shutdowns.
So Fullerton's games at Santa Barbara might be good to go.
Yeah, and then UC Davis is still stuck in their county situation and not even able to do anything. So tons of stories here.
We'll see. Hopefully we can get all or at least most of these teams up to 13 games this season. Yeah. That might be right.
Hawaii might just need to camp out for like a month and play everybody in California.
Colonial, Rocco, let me stick with you here. We only saw two games played this week. Towson's win over Coppage State and Northeastern losing to West Virginia. No conference play yet, so I don't know that there's much to discuss really in this league other than maybe what's coming up.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the story still lingers from last week was just, you know, I heard you guys talk about it on the show last week, is Hofstra's huge performance at Richmond to get that win. I think it positions Hofstra as the team to beat again. But I get, you know, there's a lot of capable teams. I like the way that this Wilmington team's playing lately. They were able to swoop up Holy Cross's best player, the freshman of the year in the Patriot last year. Now he's an eligible sophomore suddenly. As soon as he's been on the Wilmington team, they've played a lot better. And I think they're a dangerous threat. And the way that a couple of these other programs like Elon and a little bit of Drexel, that, you know, there's a lot of stories brewing. We'll see how it plays out, but Hofstra's the team to beat.
Yeah, and Dave, there's the upcoming schedule. Wilmington at Drexel are a couple games to look forward to, assuming they happen this week. I think those are the two I'm circling at least. And right. I guess the Elon Northeastern games.
Yeah, Wilmington at Drexel is probably the best matchup to watch. But again, Hofstra, the front runner, should not have hardly any trouble with Bill and Mary.
Let's move on to a conference that's going to look a little different on the screen as of the announcement that came up today. Here is Conference USA, which now has divisions as of today. Conference USA has decided they're going to go to middle of the season, that they're going to go to a divisional format, which is going to apply for the conference tournament as well. It will be the top four teams from each division in the conference tournament, and we played out by division, so like East 1 versus West 4, that type of thing.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. We're making up the rules as we go, guys.
We're making them up as we go along. This is the new standings in Conference USA. Obviously, no games were other than a Southern Miss win over a non-D1 team were actually played last week. But the stories have been actually the two teams in the East here at the top are really the story here with Marshall and Western Kentucky. Both look so good so far, David.
Yeah, they really have. And I'm kind of glad they ended up in the same division. I kind of wish UAB was in there with them. But, again, those two are the best. It's probably good for both of them that they're getting to play each other twice. Western Kentucky, really good on the year so far. Been a while since we've seen them on the court. They got Charlotte this week. They shouldn't have too much trouble.
Yeah, that Western Kentucky, two games with Charlotte. UAB, Rocco. Clearly now in position to be, I guess, the number two overall team as the West 1 seed in the conference tournament with these four.
They certainly could be. I think, UTEP, who won at Arizona State's got some newfound confidence. They could be a team to watch. They've accumulated a lot of talent the last 2 years under Coach Rodney Terry. I've also was a little higher on Louisiana Tech than how they performed. I know they got blitzed against LSU. But I think in this West division, they're still a contender, and you can't sleep on North Texas. They're a team that, Grant McCasland always has prepared, especially in league. They learned some tough lessons here in non-league, but it sounds like they're getting everybody healthy just in time. So I think it's a four dog race in the West.
Yeah. And UAB has kind of gone to the pastry cart a little bit. It'll be interesting, Rocco, to see what they do against North Texas this week.
Yeah, it's a big series.
The real interesting series also is this Marshall-Louisiana Tech. It's actually going to be a cross-division series here. Assuming these games are a go, Marshall, who I think is really good, along with Western Kentucky there, against the team that Rocco just spoke about.
And, next week when we're back to a single division, or maybe even three divisions.
Red, white, and blue divisions, bring them back.
And Western Kentucky better be careful because, this is the time of year where they usually blow up their resume. And Charlotte's like the perfect team because they already shocked Davidson out of nowhere and beat them. And, they're coached by Ron Sanchez, who came from Tony Bennett's pack line, Virginia style defense. And that kind of stuff can throw fits at a team, especially in that first game. So watch out for that.
Okay. Horizon League. Rocco, I'm liking this Wright State team more and more every time I see them. They looked so good this week against Green Bay, I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Green Bay got a nice little boost with a waiver they got from a D2 player. It didn't matter. Wright State cruised. They're doing it. The good sign, I think, Chad, is that they're doing it in dominant fashion. They went to Bowling Green earlier this month and won by 18. They've won all their Horizon League games by 13 or more. And so what it shows me is that they're not messing around with some of these teams. When you start playing down to competition, kind of like Western Kentucky in past years, that's when you really get concerned. But I think the Raiders are hitting their stride at the right time, and I really like them as well.
Yeah, but David, the other story though this week, we like this Youngstown State team coming into the season. They get swept by Cleveland State. Did we overlook Cleveland State, or did we overvalue Youngstown?
Maybe a combination of both, but it's kind of hard to not be impressed with what Cleveland State did this week. Now, it was very easy to not be impressed with anything Cleveland State did before this week, but that was a hell of a week that they had, and you kind of wondered, like, I was looking at the roster, did they get a new player, or what happened? They kind of just walked out of Lake Erie up there, I think. Is it Lake Erie?
Yes.
Yeah, is. Okay, thank you. I'm with you on Wright State. I think they're going to run away from the league. There's nobody else that Even if a team like steps up and has a big game and beats them one night, I don't think anybody's going to be able to keep pace with them for the course of the entire year. And again, you kind of wish this conference used to have the greatest conference tournament ever format, and they've ruined it.
Well, as of right now, they have not even decided what the conference tournament format is going to be for this year. It is completely up in the air, still in the horizon league. They, you know, they're like they might make it up a day before the conference tournament starts. So,
But,
although they are still planning on playing the finals in Indianapolis, so that is still on the horizon there, at least for this league. But
See what you did there.
There you go. Wright State at Oakland is
on the blacktop.
This Oakland team has played really well despite their overall record. They've been the best first half team in the nation, I think, this year. So,
they took all their licks in the craziest non-conference schedule you're going to find in the country. And, you know, the Michigan game stands out the most, where they really played their best and almost pulled it off. But I was impressed. You know, them in Detroit had a war of words going into last week, and they got the sweep. And they were really upset that that series got moved up, because they were supposed to save it for the final weekend. And they got after each other. Those two games were really fun to watch.
Those two, just real quick, those two kind of have a history against one another. Oh, yeah. They don't like each other, and God, it's amusing as hell. We'll tell it someday. But anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, no, and I think just overall, I love what I'm seeing in the new look Horizon League. The additions of Robert Morris and Purdue Fort Wayne. That was a fun series. Both games were fun to watch. Very high scoring, frenetic basketball. I'm not seeing this year the lousiness of some of the schools. Like, nobody's in the 300 plus range in KenPom right now. They're all in that 200.
Other than Green Bay, they're kind of pretty bad. But
they're fading, but they got a little roster boost, so we'll see if they can turn it around. I think all these games are very intriguing, and you have some good coaches in the league too. So
this league does have some good coaches. It really does. You got Darren Horn at Northern Kentucky, Nagy at Wright State, who had such a good run. Was it South Dakota State?
South Dakota.
Yeah. And, Greg Campy is a great coach. There really are some good coaches in this league.
And now you got O'Toole from Robert Morris, and you've got Yaklich now at Illinois-Chicago, which is huge.
Yeah.
Illinois-Chicago getting Detroit this week for two games. I haven't written them off yet for the season yet either. So
I like them. They're playing well, and they're closing out games, which is a good sign.
David, the next conference is going to be all you. So just go for it. We give this conference to you every week. So go ahead.
I've just been really disappointed with everything that I've seen from all eight of my safety schools.
Again, no Ivy League this year. We're going to jump over to the Metro Atlantic, though, where unfortunately Siena still has not played. I believe that they are finally going to try to get their first game in coming up this weekend. But Monmouth with the sweep of Canisius. But I want to talk about the Manhattan-Delaware State game that happened today, actually.
Yes. Oh, yes.
This was a real interesting game. It was streamed by Delaware State. I think it was scheduled yesterday, and they decided to play it today. Delaware State streamed it on a YouTube channel, and when the games are streamed on YouTube, there's not that many of them, but people actually chat during the game. You can see what people are talking about during the game. Manhattan had an 8-point lead with 3 seconds left in the game. It was Delaware State's ball. Manhattan's players basically walked off the court and let Delaware State get a layup at the buzzer because they had the game won and they didn't care. You should have seen this YouTube stream blow up, screaming and yelling about this basket for reasons that only Brett Musburger would really care about. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, yeah.
So the spread was 7.
It was 7, yes.
Now, I a couple things here. I thought if you are betting on the Manhattan-Delaware State game that was scheduled less than 24 hours ago, the fact that there was even a line on that is, I don't know what's more impressive, that there was a line or that people were betting and watching and chatting on YouTube. What a sight. I'm hoping the video is still up there, I think, but the chat is not. I missed it. But Chad, when you told me that story, I just died laughing.
But Rocco, upcoming schedule here in the Metro Atlantic. I guess I'm everybody has a loss already, other than the teams that haven't played. So I don't know. This might be a coin flip between 11 teams here.
Right. Yeah. I still think, you know, Siena's the team with all the intrigue. They are on schedule to play Monmouth Sunday. And I think what's the second one, Monday. So that's definitely like kind of the highlight of the weekend overall. But I like what I've seen a little bit from Ryder. They've been a little bit back and forth. And, you know, Iona.
1-6 Ryder?
Yeah, maybe not. Okay.
just making sure we're talking about the same team.
They were blowing all those games. They seem to be right in there every game. They should have beat St. John's, and they blew that. Anyway, enough about Ryder.
I'll give an eye on St. Peter's, actually.
I like St. Peter's. Yeah. They're a solid veteran team. And I think when Iona plays together, they're very dangerous. But they're now on pause for 2 weeks, so we'll wait.
I think I'm going to like Siena if they ever get to play. But so far, out of the, I agree with Rocco about St. Peter's. They're the team that I like the most that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
David, Mid-American Conference. Not much happened this week other than Bowling Green actually earlier today picked up a road win at Ohio. A game they trailed most of the way, actually. They came back and won that one.
Yeah, a real nice win for Bowling Green. I was really impressed with Ohio in the first couple of weeks of the season. My feelings on them have rescinded some, you know, off to kind of a rocky 0-2 start in the conference. But Bowling Green was the preseason favorite, and right now they're kind of looking at 6-2, one of those two losses at Michigan, hardly anything to get upset about. But, you know, a real nice win for them today on the road.
Right. The other teams that are undefeated are Toledo, Akron, Ball State. But, you know, in terms of the
upcoming, Kent State off to a better start than what I thought we were expecting.
Yeah, Kent State had a big 0-0, so they are undefeated as well. David, you are correct.
3-1 in the – okay.
3-1 overall, 2-1 against D1. They haven't played yet. That's the problem. They've been shut down.
Hey, their only loss was in overtime at Virginia. That's not
true. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got Akron hosting Buffalo and Central Michigan here. So that the Akron Buffalo game could be interesting here coming up on Friday night, assuming it's a go. Who knows?
That's got to be
actually. It's been reshuffled, so it is just Central Michigan at Akron.
They're
Buffalo not playing two games in one.
Why not? They should.
Buffalo.
Kansas City played the same team. Akron's going and playing two different teams in one.
Conference teams too.
Yeah.
Buffalo, because of that trip to Syracuse, they're Buffalo's done until the 9th.
Okay, so Buffalo done. Akron there. They got Eastern Michigan after that, after the Central Michigan game.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Kent State came back to practice today, which is great to see, and they are on track to play Eastern Michigan on Saturday. Speaking of Kent State, as far as really. Yeah, good games to watch. You know, I think Bowling Green at Northern Illinois should be all Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Akron should be okay against Central. That was a pretty big upset over Eastern, in my opinion. But they blew them out, so who knows? Maybe Central's got something we don't know about.
Maybe it's the Ohio Ball State game then really on Saturday. That might be the most interesting one there. Ball State off to a 2-0 start. Ohio's not that bad either. So
right.
And Jason Preston missed the game today. So that was a big, big difference, right? So if they didn't say, he just didn't show up in warmups. And so I'm not sure what the reason is, but if he's out again, Ohio's probably in trouble against Ball State.
The MEAC. Two divisions here, Northern and Southern, two teams that are even on the screen there, Bethune and Maryland for sure not playing this year. But Norfolk State, we've liked a little bit what they've done, and they did pick up another win against a non-under-the-radar school, I guess. They win at George Mason there, David.
Not the best team from the Atlantic 10, but I don't know, a real nice win for Norfolk State on the road. And they have looked good this year.
Yeah, I'm impressed by this Norfolk State team. I think they are the team to beat in this conference.
Oh, yeah.
Which I believe actually does get into some conference play. Looks like they get Howard to start things this weekend here, Rocco, if I'm reading this correctly.
They do, and they should be okay in that one, especially on their home floor. Very impressive win against George Mason. They were down 17 in the second half and had a feverish rally to win that thing. And now George Mason just beat UMass, so it looks even better.
Yeah, that double overtime win tonight over UMass.
Yeah. Also, a little shout out for Morgan State. You know, they've already won at Iona and then recently just won at Delaware, a CIA program. So, you know, for MEAC standards, that's pretty good to get those two wins. We'll see what they do on Sunday. They just added a game. Morgan State will be at James Madison, another CAA program.
Right, that Towson game that's on there got canceled. That was supposed to be today. So that's, I think, the replacement.
The makeup. There. Yeah, Towson and James Madison were supposed to play Sunday. Now it's Morgan State and James Madison.
David, the past week we had a lot of exciting action in the Northeast Conference. Consisting of absolutely zero games that were played in the last 7 days. And on top of that, wait, let's say even better. Let's talk about the next 7 days because they kind of scheduled it a 2-week break here around the holidays from the league. So,
which is horrible. I mean, that's why, you know, the stock market probably dropped. The price of gas went way up. You know, the weather's been awful. I mean, the world turns around this conference as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what to do without it. I want it back. But, no, in all seriousness, it's good that they got a 2-week break. I know that there's a lot of anxiousness, not necessarily with the Northeast, but just in general in college basketball over the holidays. Like, do we let these guys go home? Who are they going to be exposed to if they do go home and come back? I mean, there's sort of a lot of hesitation to let them go anyway over Christmas break because it cuts in the practice time, but especially now. This is going to sound weird. I actually applaud the league for making the decision to give them a break.
Yeah, they did schedule in this break. And leaving Merrimack has a chance to be the very last team that's going to play this year to actually get a game in, Rocco. I think that they're on track for that, aren't they?
I think they are. Yeah. I mean, depending on what happens with this UC San Diego situation. But, yeah, it's going to be one of those two, I think.
Well, UC San Diego has played a couple non-D1 games at least.
Oh, true, something. True. If we're counting those, yeah. I tend to look past those.
me too. But you know, technically they've played a couple games that count. Depends on what happens with the Patriot League teams as they get started up and exactly. See if any of them get shut down before they get going here.
And I'll also be curious to see if Mount St. Mary's can get back in time for this January 7th. Date because they had a shutdown just a few days ago. So I don't know if the timing's going to be okay or not.
Right, well, we'll should know. We'll discuss them in next week's show and we hopefully have a little bit more information about them then. Look over to the Ohio Valley Conference where David, tonight we saw Belmont and Murray State, which has become the top two teams, and Belmont looked real impressive in the game tonight. Take care of Murray.
Yeah, they do. And looking real impressive all year, improving to a really fantastic 8-1. And the one loss, a little bit of a fluke against a Samford team that you would expect them to beat most of the time. But we figured that these were two of the best teams in the conference. They do play again shortly. But Belmont looking really good. And you just wonder, have you seen anybody else that could catch them? Eastern Kentucky looked impressive at times. They also played tonight. But, you know, some of their losses have you scratching their head a little bit, as good as that 7-2 record is and as improved as they are. A lot of teams in action tonight, but overall, I just like this Belmont team.
Yeah, as we record this, it's coming on 10 o'clock Eastern right now, and there are four games that are still being played right now as we record this. Eastern Kentucky is up late on Eastern Illinois. Austin Peay is up pretty big on Tennessee State. Jacksonville State's taking care of UT Martin. Tennessee Tech at halftime is up big on SEMO as well. So we're going to see those games probably will stand at Tennessee Tech, maybe not. They'll be the first win of the season. But yeah. Rocco, you know, maybe Jacksonville State is somebody we start paying a little bit of attention to now, especially if they hold on for this win against UT Martin tonight.
I think so. I mean, UT Martin's not they're a bottom feeding team, but I think just Ray Harper as a coach, he's proven he puts together, you know, just a mashup, if you will, of players each year. Goes the JUCO route, right? A lot of his starters and key players. So here we are again, a fresh batch of players, and he's making it work. They look really good today. You know, I think that their schedule sets up nicely, too. They already got to take down Tennessee Tech twice. They'll get Tennessee Martin out of the way. Next, they get SIU Edwardsville. Then they finally get Eastern Kentucky and Moorhead. They're not going to have to play Belmont until January 16th, so there is an opportunity there. Some of those games are on the road, so it won't be easy. But there is an opportunity there to build up like a, maybe a 6-0 or 5-1 type record and stay in the hunt and gain some confidence. So I like the way that sets up for the Gamecocks.
I do want to also give one quick shout out here in this league before we move on. Eastern Illinois, who is about to go down to Eastern Kentucky. It's just a few seconds left of that game. Max Smith for them hit a three-pointer tonight for the 89th consecutive game NCAA record, breaking Illinois' Corey Bradford's record. So congratulations to him, even if the team did not get the success. They're now going to be 0-1 in league.
That's SID Chad Sherwood, ladies and gentlemen, coming up with that bit of trivia there.
Hey, some of us read Twitter. Yeah. Patriot League did not actually play any games. So we're still sitting here waiting for everybody other than Army or Navy to play. But, David, we have games upcoming in the Patriot League.
Yeah. I like what I've seen out of Army and Navy so far. Everybody else, I don't know. It's hard to have an opinion on that. But Army and Navy, two teams that, like, have been decent at times. Like, you know, Army was kind of exciting a couple years ago. Navy's had some decent teams. I don't recall a year where I thought either one of them looked as good as they do this year. So it has been fun to watch them play in the limited games that they've had. You know, Army almost took down Florida. Navy did beat Georgetown and had a couple other good wins. So I think that they both can certainly make some noise this year.
Yeah, and Rocco, Navy, Army with a home-and-home with Colgate, Navy with a home-and-home with Bucknell this weekend, assuming these games happen.
Yeah, I think Army-Colgate's the series to watch. Colgate's the pick. We did get a preseason poll this week, which was the latest in the year preseason poll I think I've ever seen in my life after Christmas. So pretty cool. I was a little surprised. I think it was Navy that came in third and Army in sixth. I thought they would get a little more love than that based on what we saw. But the voters were still high on Colgate and Boston U. Boston U won the tournament last year in an upset over Colgate. And Loyola Maryland actually picked high. It's not a secret anymore. Santi Aldama is now officially first team all conference on the preseason team. And they get American this weekend. So, again, I'll keep giving Loyola Maryland props until they do something result-wise.
And if you're looking for good games to watch, assuming they happen again, Lehigh-Lafayette's always a great rivalry. They're playing this weekend as well. So I think everybody in their own division is playing everybody in their division like 15 times this season.
That's really the game list.
But two teams here that have six games scheduled against each other, right?
BU and Holy Cross.
BU and Holy Cross.
First two of six this week.
Two of six. That's ridiculous. Southern Conference, not on the screen there. Samford just beat VMI. That game just went final just a few minutes ago. But, David, the game tonight was Furman at Chattanooga, and a very impressive win, road win for Furman against a Chattanooga team that had been undefeated heading into that game.
Yeah, Furman, a team that I think coming into the season that we all like the most, and we're wondering how good is this team? Are they going to be able to get an at-large bid? Are they going to flirt with the rankings if they can really bloat their record out? A few missed opportunities at big out-of-conference wins early in the year, but going up against a really good Mercer team and going on the road decisively,
they still play Chattanooga, not Mercer.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they still play Chattanooga, I'm sorry, against a really good, previously unbeaten Chattanooga team and getting the win.
Rocco, talk about Wofford and Mercer. Mercer was the other team off to the great start. They lost last night at home to Wofford.
They did. And, you know, I went on a limb in my preseason bracket and picked Wofford because I just think they're going to be a really tough team to beat when we get to the SoCon tournament. But I don't think they'll win the regular season. I think Furman should do that. But this was an outstanding performance. You know, I thought they exploited Mercer a little bit. Unfortunately, for Mercer, they were without Neftali Alvarez, who had been playing so well for them in the first month and a half. So a tough way to start for the Bears, but a little shorthanded. But Wofford went out, and they basically took control from the opening tip. I watched most of the game. Yeah. And you saw Storm Murphy. He's been around a long time there. I think in the game he passed 1,000 career points. So congrats to Storm. And the Terriers are well positioned going forward with that road win in hand.
And some interesting games coming up this weekend. Mercer at Furman. Samford at Wofford. What you can cross off is the Citadel's games, as the Citadel will remain undefeated at least for another week. They were just shut down for a COVID outbreak. So still undefeated, 7-0. How about that?
Nice win for ETSU as well in a big game against Western Carolina to open. I thought they were very evenly matched, and ETSU's making some progress.
Yeah, I saw a stat there too that Western Carolina had not actually won a game in Johnson City in like 25 years, and they actually had a shot tonight but did not pull it off.
I believe that, yeah. They had a heartbreaker last year, the last game of the regular season. They had it won, and that three-pointer broke their hearts.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. To clinch the SoCon, yeah.
Yeah.
The Southland Conference, Rocco, is a conference that unfortunately is starting to really fall apart on itself here. We liked what Abilene Christian did at the start of the season. We still like them a lot. There's nothing else I see in this league at all. It's future.
Yeah, it's tough,
honestly.
it's tough. I mean, if we're making a trade, like Horizon's taking a little step forward and Southland's taking a giant step back. So we had to swap somebody to make it work. This is where we're at.
It might be worse next year with SFA and Sam Houston State on their way out. Although I believe that's going to be 2 years from now if it does happen.
Right. I would like to float something out there about the Southland. You know, some of these teams are transitional, but I believe now they're all eligible.
They're all eligible there. Yeah.
We've got 13 of them. They could reformat their conference tournament and give us something that the Big East used to give us, Chad. I'm talking about a quintuple header. All 13 teams, five.
No, David.
What do you have against what do you have against the it's the greatest thing in sports?
Let's just keep going here. After the upcoming games, first of all, the Southland Conference. You see a bunch more of these non-D1 games, and then we actually get to some conference play this weekend. Abilene Christian hosting a Lamar game. That Lamar Abilene Christian game could be a good one. Lamar's not looked bad so far this year despite the overall record.
Yeah, I think that's the game to watch overall. You know, I'll be interested to see New Orleans against SFA just from the standpoint that SFA hasn't been able to play since December 12th. And when these teams have long layoffs, that you get some pretty, you know, sluggish starts typically. So they're going to have to battle through that to get the win. It won't be a layup.
Yeah. Also visiting Houston Baptist, it looks like late in the next week.
Yeah, or next Wednesday. Yeah.
That's worth watching because whenever you get a chance to watch Houston Baptist play at home, you need to do it. It is phenomenal.
Especially if they wear their throwback unis. They do a few times a year. I love those uniforms.
Right, yeah.
Southwestern Athletic Conference, which only saw Alcorn State play a couple games this past week. Alabama A&M shut down again despite being undefeated, despite being ineligible as well. I don't know what to talk about here with this league. Let's talk about
Prairie View just for a second. They're not going to get the win, but they went into ACU and really took them to the wall. With about 5 minutes to go, they were right in there tonight. And there have been moments where they've actually looked pretty good, especially when compared to everybody else in this league aside from that. So, you know, we're used to seeing Southern and Texas Southern a lot of the times in this league. I think it's Prairie View this year.
Yeah, Prairie View, Rocco, they just got the point guard eligible, right?
Right, Cam Mack, transfer from Nebraska, didn't have to sit out with the new NCAA rule. So this is his second game back. Played much better tonight. He's at 16 points and 4 rebounds right now with about 30 seconds left. But they're only down 6, and so they'll lose probably by single digits. Like David said, it's a really good performance for them and a good sign for the future. I do think Texas Southern, they played everybody tough and gone all over the country doing it. I think they're still just a peg above, but they're both right there. And I think Southern's going to still be a factor.
Well, we do get into conference play here coming up this weekend to the extent games are a go. Again, some of these two or three of these teams, I think, already got shut down just in the past couple days here. So including Alabama A&M, as we mentioned. Alabama State hasn't even played a game yet.
Yeah.
The Summit League didn't actually have any games other than last night's Omaha loss. Actually, a close game to a pretty lousy Kansas State team. David, I don't think that's a sign that Omaha was any good. I think it's a sign of how bad K-State is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Omaha really did have a chance to win that game. I still like South Dakota State. Who else is even going to come close to them? But
I've got an idea. If you look at Oral Roberts' schedule, I mean, they're 3-5. The three wins are against non-D1 blowouts, and the five losses are to Missouri, Wichita State, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Arkansas, all big programs, all in the top 100. And they took Wichita to the wire. They took Oklahoma State to the wire, and they played pretty well most of the Arkansas game. I think they've got a real shot to contend. We just don't know because they haven't played anybody close to their skill level on either side. But Max Abmas might be the best under the radar player that I've seen all year.
Yeah, I do like him.
He's been amazing as a sophomore too. So I think this Oral Roberts team could be a story. We'll see.
I like North Dakota State also. I do not rate them off at all yet.
Yeah, I know that North Dakota State, I mean, they stepped up on Kansas, I think, and they've had some big moments. South Dakota State missed some opportunities to get some monster wins because they were one of the teams coming into the year. It's like, could they land inside the bubble? I just don't think any is like nothing against North Dakota State or Oral Roberts. I just don't think they're on South Dakota State's level when South Dakota State plays up to their ceiling.
That way South Dakota State goes and loses games to South Dakota.
It wasn't a conference game. They were confused.
Okay, that must be it. A couple more leagues left here. Quickly through the Sun, over to the Sun Belt, which did not actually play any games other than a non-D1 game by Troy this week. But we talked a little bit about Little Rock earlier, Rocco, but I feel like Georgia State, I think, is the best out of this conference so far. They've got a real, real interesting trip to Coastal Carolina this weekend, if that's a go.
Extremely interesting. Double dip Friday, Saturday. I think Georgia State's just got the most proof in the pudding so far. You know, the quadrupler on opening night to beat Georgia Tech, the road win at Charlotte, which Davidson proved is not easy to do. And, of course, the revenge win over Mercer, which was their only loss, shows that this team's got character, moxie, experience from last year, and a blowout over Charleston in their previous game. So we just know the most and can feel the most confident, I think, about Georgia State. But in terms of Coastal Carolina, a team that we thought was a sleeper this year as well, their only loss is at Wofford, not a bad loss at all. They just haven't had the chance to play anybody else. They've played cupcakes in D2 schools or non-D1s. So this is going to be a fun series. I think these two games are going to be really worth a watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, I'm with you on Coastal. I mean, yeah, they're 6-1, but more than half of those wins are not D1 wins.
So we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. We do still like Little Rock, despite a few losses. Louisiana, notably, out to a 6-1 overall start. They're hosting Texas State coming up as we get into conference play here. But David, the last conference we got to discuss is the WAC. And we already mentioned what New Mexico State did against Cal State Northridge. We also have to mention the fact that we now have four ineligible teams in this conference, given that Chicago State has shut down completely for the season.
So they're going to play this conference tournament in a phone booth.
California Baptist will play in the conference tournament. They've Dixie State and Tarleton State have got to wait 2 years to do it, but so they will have. I guess it'll be six teams in the conference tournament now.
Yeah, six.
Anyway,
New Mexico State is just I think part of it is circumstantial. I don't want to write that off entirely. They haven't been able to get on the floor, but when they have, we saw them sweat out an NAIA team. And I mean, they struggled to win that, but they won it and you sort of move on, but then they lose, their one and only game against the D1 team. And you start to wonder what is going on in Las Cruces. That's, well, nothing. They're not in Las Cruces. But why is New Mexico State, this team that seemed like especially compared to the rest of the conference, was going to be stacked and actually going to be pretty good this year. Why are they having so much trouble? I still like Grand Canyon out of everybody that I've seen from the league so far.
Yeah, Rocco, is New Mexico State trying to get another game in here this week? They don't have anything on the schedule.
I'm glad you asked, Chad. Yeah. Six hours ago, okay, we got word that Santa Clara is going to play New Mexico State in the Toyota Arena down in Ontario, California, which is next to the airport down there. So good for both of those schools to get another game in. Santa Clara was already down there because they played USC yesterday. So they're going to play in a random arena. I don't think that belongs to any – definitely no college teams. I think they may have had a G League team there in the past. So that's tomorrow.
Okay, well, we'll get to see a little more in New Mexico State tomorrow then. Maybe they can find another game to get in here because they got nothing scheduled till next Wednesday. Yeah. Just some non-D1 games on the schedule. Portland, Seattle playing as we record this in a close game, in fact.
They need games.
David, I think we got one more conference we got to hit.
Yes, the Front Range.
There it is, the Front Range Conference. We got to check in on them. I know technically some of these may not be under the radar schools, but we don't care because it's the Front Range, right?
Right. I mean, we just don't care. But, Colorado, not
– Wyoming and Colorado still tied for first in Front Range standings at least. But yeah, Colorado State and Air Force haven't played conference games yet.
Yeah, Colorado dropping that out-of-conference game to Arizona there, which could hurt their at-large chances. But – I think this league gets an automatic bid. We'll see if Colorado gets in the NCAA tournament or not. If they do, we're going to claim that they won the Front Range automatic bid.
Well, you know, maybe, I don't know about Wyoming or Colorado State or Air Force.
But. Yeah, you see more out-of-conference games there, Colorado at USC. We got who else?
No Front Range games, no actual conference games on the schedule for this week.
Colorado State, San Diego State, another out-of-conference game.
Northern Colorado, a trip to Montana, double dip there in Montana.
Right, no, more out-of-conference games, so no Front Range games.
Okay, that note, so let's jump over to our top 10 lists. This is our under-the-radar top 10 list for this week. We got a lot of teams that got at least honorable mention votes. So let's just start by revealing all those. These teams that did not make the top 10 but at least got some consideration either to be in the top 10 by at least one of the three of us or at least get an honorable mention from them. But teams
Georgia State not getting in.
Toledo, Georgia State, Southern Illinois, South Dakota State, UAB, Abilene Christian, Bowling Green, Akron, and Hofstra. I think we discussed all those during the course of this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Southern Illinois, like dropping that game, dropping them out of the rankings, but I still
dropping
like
the game. Their game, yeah, getting the split against Evansville. Otherwise, they probably really would be hurt in the top 10 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
At number 10, though, was Belmont, who I think the two of you voted before they played tonight, so they might have been a little higher if. I didn't
rank them. I'm sorry, Bruins fans.
Well, that's why they're number 10. They at least made the top 10, though. Mercer.
I didn't vote them that high. Ooh, Mercer's still in.
Mercer,
okay.
Despite the loss to Wofford.
That's a big drop, though. 10. I think they had been up around two or three. So,
coming in at number 8, we had Wright State, who's okay. I don't even think was in our top 10 last week. They've now moved in there, and I think they're really looking good. We mentioned that.
Yeah.
At number 7, we got Loyola Chicago, one of the teams we talked at the top of the show. We're discussing the Missouri Valley. At number 6, Marshall out of the Conference USA, in that same division as Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
And at number 5, we've got Furman out of the SoCon.
Big win today. Yeah.
Number 4, Drake.
That's
our show. Undefeated. Deservedly up here?
Deserved. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to put them in the top 3 yet because they haven't played anybody in the top 100. But hopefully that changes soon.
Okay, at number 3, we got that Liberty team that hasn't played in about 3 weeks, but they're coming to their number 3. This is a strength of some of these teams like Furman and Mercer having slipped off a bit, team like Liberty move up. Number 2, I think this was unanimous. We all had Winthrop at number 2 in our rankings.
Yeah, and I guess that means number 1 was unanimous as well.
So. Number 1 has not changed all season, despite the fact they have a couple losses already. Western Kentucky, number 1. We'll see this week. I think the Charlotte tests are going to be very interesting for them.
Yeah.
I think that's prime for an upset in those games, as Rocco mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
On that note, though, let's go to any final thoughts about this or about anything as the year is going to be coming to an end here in about 26 hours, Rocco, or 29 for you, I guess.
Thank you. So quick I guess two quick final thoughts. One, I was a little disappointed in our voters this week for the UTR top 10. Toledo not making the top 10 despite winning at Marshall, and we have Marshall sixth. I just think they may deserve some recognition because their losses are barely to Xavier. They lost to Michigan and a tight one to Bradley. Maybe the Bradley loss is what throws everybody off. But Toledo coming up, two big road games, Western Michigan, Kent State. See how they start off their next chapter of MAC play. They're already 2-0 in the MAC. The actual final thought I originally had was to talk a little bit about Chattanooga's drama this morning. Right before the game started, I think maybe just 2 hours before, David Jean Baptiste, who was their leading scorer and went in the transfer portal 2 games ago, had already said goodbye, decided to leave the transfer portal and come back. And he came in off the bench today to score 18 points. Coming into the game without him, I knew Chattanooga was shorthanded. I expected Furman to win comfortably, and that kind of shook things up. And you saw how great of a game it was. So that's really good news for the Mocs. I'm not sure how they worked that out in the locker room, because obviously that's probably going to ruffle some feathers when a guy says he's gone and all of a sudden he's back. But the Mocs are now, I think, in a real position. Unlike before, without him, I thought they were kind of a phony 9-0. I think now they actually have a shot to contend with him back, despite the loss today.
So transferring, I guess he untransferred. So,
right. Yeah. Well, the portal doesn't mean you're transferring. It just means that you have permission to contact.
Correct.
David, would you like to finish out the year for us here at Hoops HJ?
I don't have a story as good as that, because that was a guy that transfers, says goodbye. I don't know if he picked another school, but he made up his mind to leave, and then he comes back and scores 18 points. Got nothing as good as that. Other than that, like, this is the last show of 2020. Hopefully 2021 is a lot better. Hopefully soon we get the vaccine, and my biggest hope is that by the end of the year, before the season's over, we have fans back in arenas, and like, we're not having 15 and 20 games canceled every day.
I'll tell you, my biggest hope, even more than that, though, is that we actually get an NCAA tournament in. And we may be discussing that more as we get move through 2021 and we see how things are starting to play out. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for having joined us, not only tonight, but throughout 2020. We are definitely going to keep going here in 2021. We'll be back next week with a Hoops HD report and an Under the Radar, and we'll be starting with some bracket rundowns here, I think, maybe not next week, but the week after. So we have lots more content coming. But on behalf of David Griggs and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Have a happy new year, everybody, and we'll talk to you again next year.